is to folks of all genders, including students, staff, faculty, and those who have a connection to the UBC Vancouver campus. We provide crisis and short-term emotional support, legal, medical, and campus-related advocacy, and outreach and educational programs. We are located in the Student Nest, room 3127. For more information on our hours of operation and other resources and services, please go to our website, amssask.ca, or visit our Facebook page, AMS Sexual Assault Support Centre.
Don't you put it in your mouth.
Don't you put it in your mouth.
Don't you stuff it in your face.
Don't stuff it in your face.
Though it might look good to eat.
Though it might look good to eat.
And it might look good to taste.
And it might look good to taste.
You could get sick.
Yuck.
CITR 101.9 FM Vancouver. Don't put it in your mouth. Put it in your ear.
Ick! Don't you put it in your mouth.
Uh-uh.
Till you ask someone you love.
That's right, sis.
If it's okay to eat.
If it's okay to eat.
Ashley knew something was wrong when I stuck my hands into my ski jacket pocket and I exclaimed, "Wow, I forgot I had a chocolate bar. Do you want some?" This was weird because 5 minutes previous to this exclamation, I had stuck my hand into my jacket pocket and exclaimed, "I have a chocolate bar, do you want some?" We were at Mount Baker and we were packing up our stuff and I had fallen, but I don't remember any of this. In fact, I don't remember about four hours of that day. My friend Ashley, who I was skiing with, she didn't see it happen, but she saw me on the snow with both of my skis off, and I was a little out of it, but I seemed okay until I started looping. I had no short-term memory for 4 hours. I had a concussion. They brought me to the clinic at the mountain, and the American doctors, it was Mount Baker in Washington, they asked me some questions, and I knew my name, and I knew how old I was, but I didn't remember what month it was, and I didn't remember the particular date. They told that once they found out we were going back to Canada, they were really relieved. And they said, "Take her straight to VGH. So my friends did that, and my first memories, they weren't very glamorous. I just remember, okay, we gotta get gas because it's cheaper here than in Canada. And my friends tell me I was saying the same things, like maybe four ideas again and again and again, and repeating and looping until the memories started kicking in, and then I became aware of the fact that I was getting over this short-term memory loss. And fortunately, at VGH, I got a brain scan, and I did not have a skull fracture, but I did have a fractured rib, and I definitely had a concussion. And I didn't really know what a concussion meant. I thought, okay, well, I'll just take it the next few days a little bit slowly, and then I'm a pretty resilient person. I'll be fine. The next day, I stayed home and caught up on watching The Mother of Dragons on Game of Thrones, speaking of this theme of the night with mothers of things, and the day after that, I decided to go into UBC. I'm a grad student, and I went to a Prezi talk. I don't know if you guys have seen Prezis, but it's like moving from one slide and then zooming to the next, and I just held my head, and I knew something was really wrong.
All right, you're back on 24 Hours of Student Power. My name is Elizabeth Holliday. You are listening to CITR 101.9. And that was a little clip of Anecdotal Evidence. You'll be hearing more of that later throughout the day. That's a science event that goes on, produced by science students in town. Very cool. You'll be hearing more of that. But for now, we are in the studio with Brittany Smalia and Mariah Deer from UBC SLAM. Welcome, guys.
Hi, thanks for having us.
Thank you for being here. Amazing. So, what can you tell me about UBC SLAM?
Oh, let's let the president speak.
All right, UBC SLAM. So we've been around for a number of years now. Six, I think. Yeah.
Before
like
we were here. It's generational now.
Yes, it is. Oh, yeah, wow. It was all started before we got here. We host slam events at Benny's Bagels every 2 weeks. So our last event of the semester is actually going to be tonight at 7:30. What is a slam?
Yeah, so let's talk a little bit about what slam is. So a lot
it's
of
like
the time,
a rap battle.
It can be. A lot of the time I hear questions about, like, what is slam poetry when people hear that I do it. And my number one answer to that is just any poetry that you read in front of people. And it's called slam because it's often a competition and you slam each other with your words.
Yes. So we the way we do it at UBC Slam is we like to keep our open mic section, like, fairly big compared to other slams in the area. So we have 5 open mic spots because we want to be a welcoming place for newcomers, somewhere to explore your voice. And then we have 10 actual slam competition spots where you go up and you perform a poem. And there's a few rules that apply. Like, it has to be your own work, has to be under 3 minutes. Some other fun rules include no animal acts and no nudity.
Which is good for everybody out there. No nudity,
usually,
everyone.
Yeah.
I have a question about that. Has anyone ever come and been like, hey, guys, I really want to do this animal act?
We actually have no idea where that rule came from, you know, why it exists.
At first, I was like, wow, animal acts. But it actually just means no animal acts. You can't get up there with your parrot. That's actually
right,
what it means.
Yeah.
And no, I've never had anybody come up there and try to do that.
Wow.
So, yeah.
Especially, I feel like most slams are held in food-friendly environments, like cafes and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. Like, why are you bringing your cat in here in the first place?
No? That's a good question. Some people are very attached to, like, their parrots or cats.
It's
true. Know. So they would carry them around.
I've seen cats that have, like, traveled the entire world. Like, that's dedication to your pet.
It happens. It happens. So I have a question about UBC Slam.
Mm-hmm.
Because I'm, as someone who's only a little tiny bit involved in slam community, like, more of, like, a cheerleader from the side, I understand that there's a difference between, like, the UBC Slam sort of community and scene and the Vancouver Slam scene. And those are kind of, as far as I'm aware, the two kind of biggest ones that are circulating. So what is that difference? Like, what is UBC Slam?
Yeah, so this is Mariah. I'm going to talk a little bit about that because I'm very involved in both communities.
Mm-hmm.
So I actually started out with Vancouver Poetry Slam before UBC Slam. And Vancouver Poetry Slam is a little bit different because it's a lot larger. It's been around for a lot longer. And what they do is every Monday night they have a competition and there's cover, so you pay, and they have feature poets who pay and bring in revenue, and so they raise a lot of money. And every year they send poets to these national or international competitions. So some of the ones that I've been to have been Youth Can Slam, which is the Youth Canada Slam Championship, mm-hmm. and some other ones that Vancouver Poetry Slam sends people to are the International World Poetry Slam, the Women's World Women's Poetry Slam.
Wow Whips.
And a lot of them. So Vancouver Slam is really open to everybody. They have 3 slams every month open to anyone and 1 slam reserved for youth, which is under 20. And so I started out there, and when I came to UBC, I found it was super welcoming because there wasn't all this pressure about going to these competitions and, like, getting on the internet and make it or break it. It was really, really, really welcoming. And you can just go and hang out and listen and meet people. I find that everybody has been really friendly to me. We have a lot of open mic spots where you get up there and do poetry, like Brittany was saying, and you don't get judged, and it's just a way to get off your feet and gain confidence. And we do have some poets that are in both scenes, and we welcome anybody.
Yeah, I think one of the big differences that I noticed, too, because contrary to Mariah, I started out at UBC Slam and now sort of venture out to Van Slam when I have the opportunity, was the style of poetry as well. Because so UBC Slam is all, for the most part, university students. So you get the sort of same age demographic. So everyone's kind of going through the same things. Whereas mm-hmm. at Van Slam, you have this very wide age demographic. So you get sort of a wider scope of poetry.
Hmm. Yeah, I definitely find that as well.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that makes sense. That's very interesting, because then I guess you have UBC Slam really is, like, it helps it be more of a community because everyone is feeling, or, like, more likely to get each other's, like,
right.
where they're at. And
yeah, I think so a poem about, like, midterm stress would be okay at Van Slam and will absolutely slay at UBC Slam.
Exactly.
So that sort of thing.
Yeah. Wait, very cool. So I understand we have a couple of poems here to do.
Yes, we do.
Indeed.
Yes. I think I'm doing the first one.
Yep.
So I know we have a couple younger listeners out there, so I broke out this poem from a year or two ago, and it's a love poem that I wrote a while back about somebody, and so I'm just going to read it, and you can reminisce with me about when I used to have a love life.
Back in the day.
So this is it. Blueberry eyes. You have blueberry eyes. I used to think that they were sapphires. I used to think that everything about you could be spoken romantic. You were the only one who could make me close my eyes. I live with them peeled so wide open, I can't help being caught in every sad story panhandling on the street. You made me oblivious, and that's what I called love. You have blueberry eyes. Sometimes I wish they would have spent less time staring at me and more time staring with me at the sky. Neither one of us ever understood how to look through windows. My blood was born to drift right through them, and you faced them like walls. We ran into walls we couldn't find ways around. Walked into mazes thinking we could get out together, but we only got lost. And you asked me if I hate you now. And I've thought about lighting dead grass with matches, thought about orchids and poisoning our past, but how could I hate somebody who held my hands when my fingers felt broken, who kissed my neck when I was trying not to cut it open? How could I hate someone who blasted my heart so wide it scared my mouth closed, whose eyes were so goddamn blue they made my lonely days feel golden? And I never promised I would love you forever, but I promised when I told you I loved you, I meant it. I promise I never told anyone how sharp your tears felt. I promise. Whenever you feel that broken, I will be here to make you feel better. All I've got are videos of you so drunk you don't remember, but I will never lose the memories of you whispering my name. Love is not permanent. But I'm trying not to forget, not to let how angry you make me overshadow the tenderness you could be so tender. And I wonder if anybody knows that but me. I wonder if anybody knows how yellow soft your voice can feel. You can kiss in the gold of dandelion. The thing is, I was only built to taste buttercup, and we're both bitter. But I do not hate you. How could I hate somebody who kissed me so strong it made my history go limp? I never promised to love you forever. Forever is a long, long time. But I promise, when I told you I loved you, I meant it.
Wow. I'm gonna clap it up for you.
Mariah today. Back when she had feelings.
Mariah! That was so beautiful. I know that's not the... great job. Snaps for you. Being professional. No, that was so beautiful.
Oh, thank you.
And yeah. I wish that all of our listeners out there could watch Mariah as she poeticizes, because that's quite remarkable. Okay, next poem.
Yeah, this all is right. Brittany, the president, and who has won most of the past slams because she's brilliant. So this is one of her poems.
I feel really bad about that because I'm also the one who brings the prizes to slam.
I have a prize for tonight. Nice. If I get my paper done, I have a solid prize.
Can you tell us on air what it is?
I guess I can. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So tonight, if you come to UBC Slam at Benny's Bagels on Broadway, there will be in decently good condition, a Charlie Brown comic book.
Wow.
Book.
That is actually
nice.
Good prize.
Yeah.
Yep. UBC Slam is known for having terrible, terrible prizes. It's just stuff that we found in our purse.
The one time I did UBC Slam and won, I got a sheet of planet stickers with half of the stickers were already missing.
I absolutely remember giving out those stickers.
It was amazing. I loved it. I loved it so much. It actually makes it so much better because I'm like, this is so slam. Yep. For our listeners, what time does the slam start tonight?
Sign up is at 7:30 and poetry begins at 8.
Amazing.
Mm-hmm. And now we're going to listen to Brittany's poetry.
Okay.
I'm really excited to hear it.
So this is a poem that I wrote back in first year after going through the breakup of my first long-term relationship and sort of figuring out what living away from where I grew up meant as well. So, I swear, may you all be my witness that I will never call another person home as long as I live. I don't mean that I will only call you home. I tried that, and as it turns out, people are not static. I built my home in you, but all I've ever been good at is leaving home. I left my own home because of the way the floor creaked when I walked. I was embarrassed of the cracks in the walls and the stains on the carpet. The hoarded mess I was sure I could never clean up. I was afraid to have guests for fear they would never look at me the same, see my dirty laundry, the skeletons in my closet, and never look at me again. So I built my home in you. But all I've ever been good at is leaving home. Maybe it would have been easier to stay if the locks weren't changed every time I came back. If I didn't have to break in every time I needed a place to sleep. I understand trying to keep the neighbors out, the strangers out, but that home was supposed to be ours. But you locked me out, too. Too many times I came home to you and couldn't find my way in. And I tried to scale walls for you, smash windows for you, pick locks for you, as if breaking in would make you trust me enough to give me the key. Fair warning should have came when I first began to notice the bookcases leading to secret passageways I knew I was never meant to find. The furniture beginning to disappear while I was away, the constant tremors rattling our windows in the night as the shaky foundation of your heart began to fall to pieces. And the truth is, I could paint myself innocent. Write this poem as if you were the only problem. Write this poem as if you never answered when I knocked. Write this poem as if I never got tired of knocking. But the thoughts that keep me awake at night are not innocent. Sometimes I think about all the places I tried to rest when I got tired of knocking on your doors and all the bodies I slept next to when I couldn't sleep next to yours. I built my home in you. But all I've ever been good at is leaving home. A sense of wanderlust kept me exploring new places, on the lookout for a better place to call home. And one day, I wandered back and our home was no longer there. Reduced to a pile of rubble that I found myself on my knees sobbing next to, we forgot to patch up the cracks in the walls after every shaking tremor, neglected to clean out the stains in the carpet, forgot to take out the trash and the skeletons in our closet, and I found myself homeless. And I've since rebuilt my own home. The original structure still stands, but I took out the trash, folded my laundry, hung the skeletons up carefully, no longer ashamed. Fixed the cracks in the walls and cleaned the stains out of the carpet. The floor still creaks, but only as a gentle reminder that I am home.
Ooh.
So good.
Yes, so good. Oh, man. I love that you guys brought in your, like, 1 to 2 year ago or, like, first year intense emotional feelings.
Yeah, I find that I still have emotions, but now I write them in a little bit, you know, sometimes I wonder if I have emotions.
I'm glad you do still have emotions.
I find that I've been writing a lot more, like, slower, softer things, and I have one, like, 1 minute poem, if we have time, that I'll share that's recent, but other than that, I find I was most intense a few years ago.
Yeah, I was definitely very, very emotional in first year. I had so many things to say.
Yeah, but UBC Slam is a great place to express that.
Absolutely.
And I hope that people listening will come to the event tonight, or if they can't, find UBC Slam on Facebook.
Yes, facebook.com/UBC Slam. It's the easiest.
Mm-hmm. And we check it all the time and can answer any questions anyone has.
That's true. Amazing.
In addition, our slam tonight is actually a fancy pants last slam of the year. So if you've been looking for an excuse to, like, throw on the heels and the dress and the red lipstick or that tuxedo that you absolutely never wear, do it and come on out. It'll be fun.
It's a fancy pants slam.
Oh, yeah.
That's amazing. Oh, wow. I wish I could go. I'm just wondering, in terms of you two in slam, like, how did you get involved yourselves?
Okay.
I want to hear Brittany's story because I know mine, like, the back of my head.
President
Brittany. I mean, I know mine, but all right. So I watched a lot of spoken word on YouTube back in high school. Mm. And in hindsight, actually, one of the first things I'd ever written that was meant to be spoken out loud was, like, a little letter thing to my boyfriend of the time. It never actually got read aloud to him, which was fine. but I came to UBC, and in first year, one of the residence advisors in the building that I was living in, Heather Gunn, was the president of UBC Slam at the time. And we shared a cab back. So we had both gone to Seattle for Thanksgiving weekend that year. And then we're on the same bus back, and we shared a cab from where we got off the bus to UBC. And we're talking and whatever. We bonded a little. And she was telling me that she's president of UBC Slam. And I was like, what? I want to do that. Please force me into doing that. And she kind of, she pushed me and coerced me a little. And that's how I ended up
performing.
And then
we kicked her out. No, I'm kidding. Because Brittany wanted to move up. No.
No.
Heather's great. She still does poetry. She's just super busy.
Yeah, oh, yeah. That's true. Shout out to Heather Gunn. If you're listening to this, I don't know if you are, but you're awesome.
Shout out.
I think we're all fans.
My story about slam poetry is a little different. I started a long time ago now. Wow, I feel old. When I was 16, I was in high school, and I'm from Delta, so about an hour from here, and there's a program in Delta called Write Stretch for people who are accelerated writers or would like to be, or people who just generally enjoy writing. And we met up about once a month, and someone in the group, who was from Cell Delta Secondary, so a different high school, was super into slam poetry, and I had no clue what it was. And so we became friends, and I learned that there was this high school slam poetry championship in BC, so pretty much high school provincials. And BC is great. It's the only province in the entire country with high school slam poetry provincials. Wow. And so I heard all about South Delta Secondary School and how they were super involved in it. And so I had help from my friend and we started it at my high school. And so the first time I actually performed slam poetry in front of anyone was at Hullabaloo, which is the name of the provincials. And I remember getting up there and there's a video of it somewhere online and I'm just so awkward. And I remember finishing it and feeling like it was the best thing in the world. And I look back and I laugh at myself because I look really funny, but I love that feeling and I still get it. And so I did that throughout high school and started going downtown to Café du Soleil, where Vancouver Poetry Slam happens. And after just performing every once in a while and signing up, I feel like I got better at it and I've been going to competitions a lot. And when I got to UBC, I decided to get involved too, and I've been just doing little events. And I just self-published a chapbook, a poetry book, and so I've had my first couple paid gigs this year, and I have my book, and I feel like I'm finally moving up in the slam community.
Making it as
so,
a poet.
Dang. Yeah, I started a long time ago, but I feel like I've grown in a lot of different communities, and I've made some wonderful relationships.
Speaking of the moment of, like, years later, looking back and seeing your first performance, Facebook does that memory thing, and I recently saw a picture of like the first time that I ever performed a poem, and I had zero stage presence, just did not know what I was doing, was like hunched over the paper, like awkward posture, awkward stage presence, just did not look like I belonged. But despite that, it was still one of the best things that I've ever done. And I still remember the feeling of performing for the first time.
I did the little like rap hand gesture where like you fake spin the record because I was so into it. Aww. Yeah, that's what I did in my first poem.
It's so cute. Well, for anyone out there who hasn't had the opportunity to see either Brittany or Mariah perform, whatever they're saying about their first performances, they both have incredible stage presence now, like electrifying stage presence. So for any baby slammers or wannabe slammers out there who want to get their start, you know, UBC, you can start off in a certain place, but it helps you grow.
And you don't have to be a UBC student to come out. We have quite a few people come out who don't go to UBC, go to other colleges, universities in the area, don't go to school at all. I've actually had some high schoolers come out as well.
Wow.
Yeah, and if you're far from UBC, we do a lot of events either. We do most of our events in Kitsilano, but also we've done a workshop in East Vancouver. And if there is interest from other areas of the Lower Mainland, we can definitely work something out and maybe do another event or two.
That's a great idea. Mariah, can you tell us a little bit about your book if anyone out there wants to pick up a
copy? Sure, yeah. So I also, since I've been through this process, I have some advice for anybody that wants to self-publish a book. Save up some money first. So, I mean, I've sold enough now that I have started to actually make money, but it was definitely an investment. So what I did was I just counted this morning. There are 16 poems inside, and it's about 30 pages. And some of them are poems I've performed, and some of them are shorter, like, page poems that I would normally just let people read off the page. And yeah, I decided to get working on that this summer, and because I was writing a lot this summer, which was fantastic. Usually doesn't happen that much for me. So yeah, I just decided to go online and look up different places, different printing presses, and I went to East Van Graphics, and it was $1.80 per book. And it was really cheap. And so, I mean, if anyone gives me, like, I'm selling them for $5 to $10 a book, so even if someone gives me $5, I'm making $3 on it, right? And so I've been using that to, well, I use some of my proceeds to get laser eye surgery, and the rest is going towards a puppy, so.
Dang!
But yeah, if there's time, I have just a one-page poem that I'd like to read from
my
book.
Absolutely, go right ahead.
Okay, so this is kind of an example of some of the more quiet poems that I haven't really competed with, but I still have written and I'm liking lately. Okay, so this is a short one. Red wine bottles on the sill of the window of some lady we have never met. Give the money, get to live looking out the dusty glass. Friday at 8, he uncorks, pours it in the goblet my father's friend passed down to me when I left home. House 1. House 3, I am learning about Shabbat, rinsing bottled blood to clear, opening debates on whether fruit flies visit for the holy or if they live and come to die. From the sidewalk, I pretend that we are artists, that the curtains tore when we were frantic with heat and depth and meaning, that the liquor is soft fuel. We are two lost rooms with $7 hollow cooked into our walls. Dun, 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 dun. Yeah, so that's an example of one of the poems that you should buy my book to read again because it might take a read or two to understand.
Where can listeners buy your book if they are so inclined?
Yeah, so what I would normally say is I think the easiest way to do that is via email. So I'm going to read out my email for people who are interested in either getting the book or just contacting me about slam opportunities or advice about publishing their own books. So this is my email, mariahdear@hotmail.com, mariahdear@hotmail.com. It's about, $5. Or if you live a ways away, $10 and I'll ship it to you. So, yeah.
And if you didn't catch the email, you can message UBC Slam on Facebook.
Yeah, UBC Slam, just search it up. It's the only thing that will come up.
Yes. Incredible. Well, thank you guys so much for joining me.
Yeah,
thank you
for having us, Elizabeth.
Oh my gosh, of course. Everyone out there, go to UBC Slam tonight or support their events in the future. They're very, very fun. Everyone's so nice. Benny's has bagels and beer, so whatever, carb.
We would love to get to know you. Yes, don't feel pressure to perform, to come out and hang out. And if you want to perform, then go for it, but no pressure.
There you go. Awesome. Well, thank you guys so much. We're going to take a little bit of a break. I'm going to be back with some members of the GRSJ Undergraduate Student Association in just a couple minutes. But to continue the 24 Hours of Student Power, I'm going to play a little song by a student band called Yokes. This is Just Bored from Not Your Bay. Oh. By Yokes on CITR 101.9. Those cuffed pants, those exposed ankles, oh, I don't even care anymore. Do I have to be Nancy Drew to find you? Are they I'm not afraid to die.
All right, and you are back on CITR 101.9. We are here with some folks from GRS JUSA. You just heard Just Bored from the Yokes Not Your Bay demos. Yokes will be playing their first show on the 11th of December at the Red Gate, so make sure to look out for that. Now, I am joined in studio at the moment with Rashmi, Allison, and Vesna. Welcome, everybody.
Hi, thanks for having us.
Oh my gosh, thanks for coming. So these three lovely folks are from the GRSJ Undergraduate Student Association, also known as GRS JUSA, also known as GRSJ USA. I think my first question, because everyone seems to have a different name, is what is your favorite name for it?
I feel like this year I've just been calling it GRS JUSA.
GUS JUSA.
Girl. That's terrible.
All the things.
It's too much. There are too many letters. Cool. So what is GRS JUSA? GRSJ USA.
So as suggested by our name, we're the Undergraduate Student Association for the GRSJ program at our school. We aim to foster feminist, anti-racist, decolonizing queer, and trans-inclusive scholarship and research across campus. And our community is open to anyone across disciplines. So we have lots of folks who are from inside the major and minor and folks who are outside of it. So,
cool. Very cool.
And just to clarify, GRSJ stands for Gender, Race, Sexuality, and Social Justice.
Ah, yes. Thank you.
Thank you, Vesna.
So all of you guys are GRSJ students?
Mm-hmm.
Majors, yes. Minors?
Major.
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 Major, major, major. And me too. Hey!
Yay!
We're all GRSJ majors. It's so exciting because there are so few of us, I feel like, that every time we're in the same room, we're like, oh my God, we're all doing this. Amazing. Cool. Well, what does GRS JUSA do?
So one of the, so we kind of throughout the year, we have a couple of social events. Each semester, we aim to have two social events where people can just like come together, eat really good food, free food, and just hang out. And then our kind of our big project is the F Word Conference, which happens at the end of term two. This year is happening on April 30th. It's a day-long conference. And it's an intersectional feminist conference that brings together students, academics, and activists from around the Vancouver area. And it's an opportunity for undergrad students to present their work across different disciplines, as long as it has some kind of ties into social justice and feminism. And then we also invite community organizations and activists to come and teach workshops.
Cool. Very cool.
And the name F Word is referring to feminism.
That's a good one to know. Yeah, F-Word is, for any of you listeners out there who have never heard of it or who have just heard of it and wanted to go but haven't gone, I know I was involved in helping to plan it last year, and it's such a good, like, reminder of, I feel like, why it is that we're doing what we're doing in GRSJ, and it's such a nice, like, community-building thing. And it is open to anyone from any faculty, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So. And it's free to attend. Oh, and again, with the free food, we provide 3 free meals for the day.
Okay. So, like, why wouldn't you go? Incredible. Amazing. Cool. What are the other kind of, like, social events that you guys have that you mentioned?
So, for example, this term we had an event called Chatting Over Chocolates, where we basically get a whole bunch of dessert and then bring folks together. From the social justice community or anyone who's interested in what we're doing, and we talk about social justice issues, and we eat cake and ice cream, and it's wonderful. and then we have a couple other events that we're kind of, like, brainstorming on for next term.
One that we did last year that we're hoping to do again this year is called Painting Over Pizza. We like, like, alliteration with, like, food names, and that's going to be sometime near the middle of second term, and just hang out, do crafty stuff, and eat pizza.
Yeah, there were buttons last year.
Oh, yeah, button making, that was a good
That's
good
so
add-on.
Sweet.
But basically, yeah, the social events kind of aim to, because a lot of the time, especially in GRSJ, or even in just activist communities, we're super focused on, like, all of our hard work, and we kind of get, like, washed away by, like, the seriousness of it. And so I think one of the things that are that we aim to do with these events is kind of to, like, make it more lighthearted and have people be able to get together and have a good time and have free food without, you know, and still talk about those things, but be in kind of, like, a space that's comfortable.
They're also a really great opportunity to meet other like-minded feminists or other people in the department in, like, a casual setting, along with other, you know, professors and things like that.
And for me, I think, I think part of my activism is that I really like to be able to build community with the people who I do activist work with. And coming together in these events, I think, is a really good way to kind of build community and solidarity with each other.
Totally. I think that that brings me actually to my next question, which is about, like, how did, I guess, you guys get involved in GRSJ in the first place and GRS JUSA? Like, why is that, like, why have you gravitated towards that and, like, organizing it and being the presidents of it? What is your journey?
can I? Cool. So, actually, I found out about GRS JUSA when I was the president of the Social Justice Center, which I have a feeling you will hear about if you continue to listen to this segment. Social Justice Center is one of the resource groups on campus. And I reached out to GRS JUSA because we wanted to make connections with other social justice-oriented groups on campus. And when I went to their meetings, I was like, whoa, this is amazing. I want to be a part of this because everyone was so warm and welcoming, but again, very real and still, like, tackling the important issues that I wanted to address in my life and through my activism. So then, I became involved, and the two presidents from last year invited me into the presidency, and I was like, whoa, super excited. Yes, 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 because, just super, super blessed, basically.
So blessed.
For me, I'll start with how I kind of got involved in gender studies. So I did my first 2 years at Langara College, which is a community college here in Vancouver. And I was kind of thinking of the intention of doing my prerequisites to get enough credit to apply for the social work program here. And I just kind of took a women's studies class. On a women's, it's called women's studies there still. And I was like, oh my god, this is amazing. And then I just started taking more women's studies classes at Langara. And then when I came here, it just, like, seemed like the fit. And then I got involved with GRSJ USA second semester last year just because a whole bunch of the members were in classes I had and they were talking about it. I'm like, this sounds amazing. So then I just joined. And now I am the treasurer. So I deal with the monies.
All the treasure. You hold on to the treasure. That's cool. And Vesna, I understand you are a new president, executive thing of GRS JUSA?
Yeah. So this is my second year in GRS JUSA, and I am the social media coordinator.
Oh, the social
executive
media
position.
Oh, my. Yeah. Wow, that's cool. I feel like you know you're an established thing if you have social media.
Definitely. Absolutely. In this day and age.
Yeah. Well, can you tell us a little bit about your GRSJ journey? GRS journey?
Yeah,
I'm sorry. That was terrible.
No, that was great. I loved it. So I got to UBC 4 years ago knowing that I was a feminist, but I wasn't sure if I wanted to study gender studies as much as I wanted to study broader social justice. Then I found out about the Institute for Gender, Race, Sexuality, and Social Justice. I took a couple classes. I really enjoyed it. Then I think in my second year, a couple people from GRS JUSA came to one of my classes, kind of talked about the club, what they did, talked about the F Word conference. And yeah, I was just really interested in building community with the people that, you know, I saw in classes but didn't really have much contact with outside of class. And so that's what initially drew me to GRSJ USA.
Very cool.
And I think one of the things I really do love about GRSJ USA is it really builds that community between, oh, you know those people in the classes and you know their faces, but then you get to come together for, like, weekly meetings and talk about social justice and plan all these events. And like I was saying before, it just really helps build that sense of community with the people who you're doing activist work with.
Yeah, I feel like particularly when the GRSJ community is, like, pretty small, you tend to run into the same people, but if you are always, like, doing this kind of nose to the grindstone, like, work sort of situation, you don't necessarily get to know those people, so it is really nice. And you guys are so great because you always do, like, lovely little check-ins and, like, have everyone talk about themselves, and it's, like, a very warm space. It's not just like, okay, now we're here and we're all in the same program now. Like, what is next? Mm-hmm. So that's nice. You guys are wonderful. Okay, so I know you have a song or two that you were interested to play. What can you tell me about Pull Up the People by MIA?
Well, MIA is actually this super awesome artist, and she's feminist, and all of her work is, like, super political and amazing, and a lot of her songs are super catchy and well-known, but not very many people actually, like, read into the political or the activist side of it, mm-hmm. So I suggest that you do that if you haven't yet, and I feel like these two want me to share a story.
I think now I want you to share the story. Okay. Please share the story.
Please do it. Okay. So back home in California when I was about 8 years old and MIA first came out with her first album, my dad dragged me to this record store called Amoeba Records in San Francisco where she was going to perform and was like, we have to go because she's Sri Lankan and we're Sri Lankan and this is awesome and her work is so political and amazing. So I was like, okay, Dad, let's do it. And we're there, like, standing in front of the stage listening to MIA, and I'm just kind of, like, awkwardly, like, you know, moving from side to side a bit. And my dad's, like, trying to encourage me to dance, and I'm just being a little awkward kid. And then MIA invites me onto stage, and I spend the rest of the show dancing with her.
What?
I know, it's amazing.
She took such a turn. Okay.
Which was super awesome. So I really, and then afterwards I started, like, listening to her music more, and as I grew older and she kept producing music, I was like, wow,
oh my God.
That was awesome. She's so cool.
Whoa. Okay, well, on that note, we're going to play a little bit of MIA for you right now. This is Pull Up the People on CITR 101.9. When we come back, we're going to talk a little bit more about how you can get involved in GRS JUSA and all that good stuff.
God damn, we got you. Every day thinking about how we get through. Everything I own is on I owe you. But I'm here bringing y'all something new. You know, like the people, then they like you. Then they're gonna set it off with the big boo. Son in the battle, it's a son and daughter too. What you wanna talk about? Who done who? What you wanna talk about? Slang time, that's that in my egg time. I got the bombs to make you blow. I got the beats to make you bang. Slang time, that's that. I got the bombs to make you blow. I got the beats to make you bang. The beats to make it slang tang. That's that MIA thing. I got the bomb.
All right. That was MIA with Pull Up the People, MIA Rashmi's best friend from childhood and major inspiration to the folks of GRS CHUSA. So now that we're back from that, I wanted to just talk a little bit about how people can get involved in GRS CHUSA. What can they do if they're excited about the things that they've heard? Ooh. Tension. People like,
well,
do we start?
The effort conference planning committee will be meeting next semester. So if you want to get involved in planning that, it's a great opportunity to, you know, learn about event planning in general, and also make connections within the broader social justice community in Vancouver. So if you want to get involved with that, it's probably best to reach us by email at grsjundergrads@gmail.com. And we're going to be having meetings starting next semester. Contact us to find out more.
And our meetings take place about once a week. And we have an office in the Nest. 4305 is the room number of our office.
Okay, very cool.
But yeah, just a note on the office, keep in mind that we do share it with a few other groups, so it's not the kind of situation where you can just like drop by anytime and we'll definitely be there. However, we do, again, I feel like email is the best way to reach us and get in touch with us and get involved. So that's grsjundergraduates@gmail.com.
Cool. Yeah. And so I guess this is a little bit out of order, but like, why do you think people should get involved with GRS CHUSA? What's the appeal?
Well, so much appeal, actually. So as we've been talking about, the fact that there's like a really warm, accepting community where you can explore social justice ideas and work is the highlight for, I think, most of us. But another thing that I noticed Allison and Vesna were both bringing up is the fact that when you're in GRSJ, you say, or you come to our events or get involved in the F word, one thing that happens is you become a part of something that's separating bringing together the academic and then also the actual activist work. Because a lot of the time we're kind of just stuck in class or, like, again, doing the whole grindstone, just like working, only seeing the academia, and having to make that connection on our own, having to pull those ideas into our activism by ourselves. But by getting involved in groups like ours, you can do it in a community and together. And that's part of the reason why the F word is also super amazing, because it's a conference where academia is shared and from across disciplines, and those ideas are explored, but also you get to learn tactful skills from workshops and apply all those ideas to what you're doing tactfully, you know, simultaneously. So,
For sure.
Also, if you're interested in gender, race, sexuality, and or social justice, GRSJ USA is a really great group to join if you're not a major or a minor, because then you can still have, you know, access to this community and be a part of the F Word Conference. And we are open to people outside of the actual department. So
I think it's kind of a cop-out, but I'm just going to say it's, like, the best.
Period. It's the best.
I've just made so many good friendships, and it's just like Rashmi and Vesna have been saying, it's just like such a wonderful sense of community. And I know that like these people have my back in terms of like activism and stuff we do, but also I'm just having a really awful day and just like go to them and have that like friendship and that community. And I think that's so important, especially with like how as activists everything just seems so awful. I know Bess and I have been talking about this all the time. We have this, Mondays. Just how we just feel like we're noticing all of these, like, things in the world that are going on are just awful and make us feel so sad and make us feel so mad at the state of the world. And then we can have these people who we can, like, vent to and, like, share pictures of cat memes with each other to make the world feel better.
Yes, Allison recently shared a cat meme along one of these channels that was cats
fighting the patriarchy.
Cats fighting the patriarchy.
Smashing the patriarchy.
See, I feel like you only find that when you're a GRSJ student. So that's only one example of the great things that you could be coming into contact with as a member of GRSJ. Totally.
Yeah, I think you spend so much time focusing on, like, all of the bad things and, like, wanting to do something about it, but it does get exhausting. And so you guys just provide a nice little nest.
Yeah, and I feel like the best thing about the fact that we have that, like, yeah, like, the ability to, you know, vent or, like, confide in those people, but then also with those same people, you're working to work against the things that are making you feel that way. Mm-hmm. So it's, like, this really beautiful cycle where it's, like, you can confide in each other and be like, oh, this terrible stuff is happening. But then you can also counteract and be like, and this is what we're going to do about it. So, yeah.
Amazing. Isn't how empowering that is? I love it. Awesome. Well, thank you guys so much for joining me today. It looks like that's about all the time we have because, as I said, this is the 24 hours of student power, meaning we are all students, meaning we all have to go to class. So on that note, we're going to finish off with a little bit of Janelle Monae. Janelle Monae's Queen, featuring Erykah Badu. Is there a particular reason for this choice? Not that there has to be.
I just really love this song.
Yeah, there you go. There you go. And for all of you out there, if you can believe it, this is from the album Electric Lady, which somehow came out 2 years ago, which is really sad and makes me feel very old. But that's okay, because we're going to just bring it back in and celebrate it. Thank you guys so, so much for joining
me.
Thank
you for having us.
Absolutely. Check out JRS Jusa on Facebook. Check out the F Word, which will be coming up pretty soon. Stay tuned for all of that. And thank you for listening, everyone. We'll be back in a couple minutes with the next segment of 24 Hours of Student Power. Keep listening for all your student-y needs. And this is CITR 101.9. This is Janelle Monae.
It's hard to stop rebels that time travel. But we at the Time Council pride ourselves on doing just that. Welcome to the Living Museum, where legendary rebels from throughout history have been frozen in suspended animation. Here in this particular exhibit, you'll find members of Wonderland and their notorious leader, Janelle Monae, along with her dangerous accomplice, Badula Oblongata. Together, they launched Project Queen, a musical weapons program in the 21st century. Researchers are still deciphering the nature of this program and hunting the various freedom movements that Wonderland disguised as songs, emotion pictures, and works of art.
Call us 13.
equations, but they'll never make us equal. She who writes the movie on the script.